session number 24566, Reel 1.
Mr. Bill Cunningham, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Cunningham?
I was born in Catterick in Yorkshire on the 9th of October 1924.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background and where you were brought up?
My father was in the regular army, a Royal Engineer, and when I was a fortnight old, we went to Singapore.
Now, you'd be very young. Well, what do you remember about your time in Singapore?
Nothing.
How old were you when you left?
3, I guess.
Okay, so where did you go then?
Back to England, and I lived in Bulford in Wiltshire.
Can you tell us a bit about your family and your father?
My father was a surveyor of works, and he was in the First World War, and had an interesting end to the First World War in that he found himself in Russia teaching presumably Russian military, and he then came back to the UK, and I don't know where he was stationed then.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I have had a sister and still have a brother. So there were 3 of us in the family.
And when you came back to England, how long were you in England then? You came back when you were about 3?
Yes. And stayed in England until I was about 8. When we went to Egypt.
And what do you remember about Egypt?
Well, I went to 2 different schools in Egypt, one at one end of Cairo and the other in Heliopolis. And my sister was at school at that stage in England, and my brother was with us in Egypt.
Now, what do you remember about your education in Egypt?
I was very involved with the Boy Scouts because both of those schools that I was in had scout troops, and I achieved the rank of troop leader, which was an ideal place for scouting because the temperatures, generally speaking, so good. And in those days, the only thing I remember, I wasn't allowed to carry a knife of any sort because my father was always of the opinion that it would be used against me if any local person thought it would be a good idea.
Well, what sort of Boy Scouts activities did you have in Egypt? It's a rather more difficult, different country than the usual for Boy Scouts. What did you do?
We went to camps and I remember one particular camp at Mahdi, which is an attractive part of Egypt, some way down the railway line away from Cairo, and got caught in a sandstorm, and on the way back found myself and the people I was with were all confronted by policemen armed with rifles, and we were almost in their slit trenches, but we had wandered into a prison camp on the way back to our own scout camp. And in the scout camp we were looked after basically by scouting staff, most of whom were military people. The scoutmaster, for example, was Royal Signals, I remember. And
but what sort of activities did you do with the scouts? I mean, how did you spend your time with them?
Well, whatever one does when camping, you've got to make your own food, and you've got to collect your own water, and you've got to get to church on Sunday, and it was always something to do with the scouting movement.
How military was it, would you say, the troops you were in Cairo?
The fact that some of our school teachers were people like Army Physical Training Corps. And I remember another scoutmaster he was boxing for the army at a time when the Egyptians were trying to get a team in some Olympic Games or other, and boxing was a thing that mattered to us all. One of the instructors was obviously a boxing expert, and we all learned to box. Swimming, as you can imagine, was very popular in Egypt, and I remember on one occasion jumping into a swimming pool for saucers that had been thrown in, and I came out clutching a saucer, shouted that I'd got it, and King Farouk said, "You got my head as well." And so I felt that I hadn't done badly. We lined the streets for King Fuad's funeral as though we were military, but I suppose we did look pretty military because of our association. I remember also at a funeral where one of my school pals had been killed by a tram, and he was given a military funeral, I think possibly because his mother was a Queen's Army schoolmistress. And when the order present fire was given, I thought they were going to say present arms, and I nearly fell in the grave as the rounds were fired. I was holding the priest's beretta at the time, and that fell in the grave, but I didn't fall in the grave.
Now, what about your actual education? What was the school like? Was it, you know, who were the other children there? What was the atmosphere like?
We played marbles in French. We shouted at Italian school children going by in Italian. We used Arabic basically when we wanted to be rude and we didn't want the masters to find out altogether what we were talking about.
So it was a mixed nationality school?
Yes.
And what type of, how good was your education there, would you say? How did you do at school?
Well, it follows that I've always had a penchant for languages, I think that's probably the right word, and I have always found languages fairly easy. But I think that was because I have always been taught Latin, or always was taught Latin, and Latin is a very good basis for learning languages, learning grammar.
And what was life like as a school child there?
I would say it was very pleasant indeed. I think it had to be because so many people were naturally kind. I remember on one occasion I was invited to take a cake from a plate at one of my mother's coffee parties, coffee mornings, and while I was surveying the plate of lovely goodies, I said thank you. And of course in most languages it means thank you, no, and the plate was whipped away before my very eyes. but I've never made that mistake since. I don't say thank you very rapidly now.
And how long were you there for? You were there from, we were 8, 1932 to...
And I left when I was 12.
And that's when you went back to...
School in England.
Now, which school did you go to?
I went to Cotton College in North Staffordshire.
And what was your education like there? It gives an idea of what the school was like.
Well, I got a school certificate.
No, but what was the school like? What was your education like? A day school, a boarding school?
Oh, no, a boarding school. No, it's about 200 boys strong, and we played a lot of rugby, a lot of cricket, a lot of hockey, a lot of tennis. In fact, a good sporting record, very good indeed, I would say, for the number of boys in the school. But then in the evening, we, of course, did homework. What would be called homework.
What level of academic achievement was expected there? Was it an academic school as well, you know, strongly academic, or was it...?
Well, the higher school certificate was the aim of anybody in the sixth form.
Now, what about the declaration of war?
Yes, well, I remember it very clearly.
Tell us about that.
I was staying in Nottinghamshire with an aunt and uncle who... were on my mother's side of the family, and I remember my uncle being very displeased that war was declared. And
why?
I think because he was a very keen politician, in that he was an alderman. I don't know if that's the right way around, but certainly he was always on the go as far as his county council work was concerned.
And how did you feel about the outbreak of war? Because you were just rising up to the age when it would involve you.
Well, I imagine that I always thought I would join the army, because it's not an unusual thing to do. But I'm well aware that I'm very bad at sums, and so I wasn't sure how I was going to get into the Royal Engineers if I couldn't do my arithmetic. And I certainly didn't get arithmetic in the school certificate. I got physics, and I got German, and I got Latin, and I got French, and I got English, but... I'm not sure that I took the examination for the mathematics even.
You were that bad. What did you find difficult about mathematics?
I think perhaps I was badly taught from the word go. I suspect that, because I've had to use mathematics a lot from then on. In fact, at one stage I was a fellow of the Institute of Petroleum, and you couldn't achieve that without being able to sort out sums. But I've been well aware that if I make a decision mathematically, I check it two or three or four times, and then I presume I've got it wrong and get somebody else to recheck. So in many ways I've been able to live with the difficulty.
Now, how did the outbreak of war affect your life at the boarding school?
Well, it only affected me as far as the rations were concerned, but since we ate very well, I would say, for a boarding school, it didn't affect me.
There weren't teachers joining up and that sort of thing?
We certainly had a master who didn't teach me, but he was the maths master, and he went off and he joined the Royal Artillery. And he came back to the school while I was there and was saying hello around the place. And I had to pull his leg because he'd gone to the gunners into an anti-tank regiment where they have no use for mathematics. They fire over open sights. And I was aware of this, and I asked him what he'd done wrong, but he hit me and I left at that stage.
So no other real effect, no other sixth forms joining up early or anything like that?
No.
And what about, you joined the Home Guard, tell us about that. How did you join the Home Guard, which one did you join, and what was the service like?
The Home Guard for the area of the school was the North Staffordshire Regiment, and they sent along one drill night a week. They sent a regular army major who came and taught us things that the infantry people would expect.
Taught who?
Taught the boys who were in the Home Guard.
And what was the name of the battalion or company?
It was the 8th Battalion, the North Staffordshire Regiment.
And what do you remember of the training you got, the military training you got with them?
Well, we did quite a lot of work on the rifle range. We did quite a lot of throwing grenades. We had a thing called the Blacker Bombard, which was a dreadful weapon which burst into flames when it got onto your clothing. And I always remember this major who was commissioned from the ranks, I imagine, but the boy lying next to me, the boy lying next to me on the rifle range, had failed to put his safety catch off correctly, and he hadn't used his thumb when he should have used his forefinger or something like that. And the major said to him in a loud voice, "What did you done wrong then?" And the schoolboys all thought this was wonderful, that a major should not do grammar very well.
So how detailed was the training you went through? You'd do a lot of drill, I presume?
No, because it was only a couple of hours a week, and we did attend one or two parades around about, salute the soldier parades and things like that to make up the numbers, I think. And we were always embarrassed because of the songs that were sung while we were marching. There were words we'd never heard before. And
you weren't patrolling or doing any Home Guard duties then?
No.
You were just being taught under the aegis of the Home Guard?
Yes, and we manned a hut in the middle of the village, which was the Home Guard training hut, I suppose. And when we went back to school and went up to the dormitories, we impressed ourselves enormously by rattling our bayonets and stamping our ammunition boots on the polished floors of
Now, were there any air raids in the area? I mean, not on the school, but in the area?
Yes, because it was on the direct route for Coventry.
What do you recall of that?
We were aware that enemy aircraft were going over, but no more than that.
That they didn't drop anything?
No.
Now, what's the next thing? Would the next thing be when you left school? Did you go to work after leaving school, or did you join the army from school?
No, I joined. I stayed on Christmas holiday in Nottinghamshire, and went to to join the army and tried to join the army, and had a bit of difficulty because I had been invited to be air crew in the RAF while I was at school.
So how did that come about?
A gang of airmen came round and chatted us up and asked us if we wished to fly their aeroplanes.
And what had you thought of that?
And I accepted that I was acceptable to them for air crew, but when I went to join the army, they kept insisting that that was called no preference. And I said, no, it is a preference. I don't want to be in the Air Force. I want to be in the Army.
Did you change your mind?
No, I didn't. I never did change my mind. If somebody says, would you like to be in the Air Force? You say, oh, super. I don't want... I always did 2 or 3 years to go before.
So
I never felt I was cheating in any way.
So tell me, how did they recruit you? What was the recruitment process?
Well, I went and signed at a window, and they said, all right, well, you'll hear from us. And very few days after that, I heard that I should report to the barracks in Lincoln.
And when was this?
February 1943.
That's February 1943. We've just checked. Now, you were attending 57 PTW Lincoln. What did the PTW stand for?
Primary Training Wing.
And what was your reception when you arrived at the Primary Training Wing? Where was it? Was it in a camp or was it up at the?
It's a barracks, Lincoln Barracks, and I suppose it's been there as long as the cathedral's been there. And
how did they receive you? I mean, you arrived as a civilian. How did they take you in?
No, I arrived in Home Guard uniform, and I was quite sorry to lose the Home Guard belt, which was balled up like a Sam Brown belt, but it wasn't of use. And they were manned by the Sherwood Foresters.
Not the Lincolns, then?
Yes, it must have been Lincoln. There were three regiments altogether who produced the instructors. And while there, we were...
What about kitting out and...
Yes, everything. And inoculations were given and... People were collapsing all around the place, having been jabbed. And anybody who wasn't a Catholic was taken off and confirmed in the cathedral. And as they halted, because they weren't very good at it, outside the cathedral they all fell down because their boots with the big studs in were a bit difficult to stop yourself with. And I was...
What was the barrack like? What were the barrack rooms like that you were living in? Were you in the actual old barracks or were you in huts?
No, we were in a hut.
What were the huts like?
And the huts had a very good central heating system, a great big oven in the middle, stove in the middle. And the first thing that happened to us was that a youngster... I think he must have had the bunk above me, but he didn't ever get in the bunk because he was whipped away. They found that he had been a tractor driver, and he wasn't allowed to join the army. They took him away and put him back on his tractor, and he was in tears because he wanted to join the army. And one or two people wondered whether they couldn't volunteer to go and do his bit for him. However,
what were the other lads like of your group? How did you get on with them? What sort of backgrounds and origins did they have?
Well, we were all much of a muchness. I was amused in that the first lunch I went to, as I went to sit down, I was a bit worried because. One chap had complained that the custard had got paraffin in it, and the duty officer chased him away, told him that he was talking rubbish. And obviously he wasn't talking rubbish, it reeked of paraffin, it was dreadful, but I didn't go any further there. But as I went in about the second meal, somebody shouted, one of my school pals had joined up at the same time, and there's a great cry of "Sheik" across the dining room, and that was this school pal who'd recognised me.
Was that your nickname?
Yeah, nickname was always Sheik, having gone to school from Egypt. Yeah.
And what were the conditions of service like overall? I mean, the huts, the food. How did it strike you?
Well, it was very good. We were impressed at how some people were better than others at getting on. We had a sergeant who was given money to buy seed to put in the garden. And when the officer came round, we didn't see the officer very often, a subaltern. When he came round, the sergeant would be looking at his garden and shouting at us to get off his garden, but we knew he'd spent the money for the seeds on beer and had consumed it. But nevertheless, he didn't, and we didn't let on that it was a bad idea. I was sent off to see whether I should join the intelligence corps. And the personnel selection officer who'd sent me got a flea in his ear because you had to be over 21 to be in the intelligence corps. So I said to him, well, look, I've come back now. What would you tell your son to do? And he said, I'd tell him to join the Royal Artillery. Because obviously he'd got a wigging for sending me. There were three red-hatted officers there to select me and find that I wasn't old enough to be selected. So I then found myself being sent to the gunners.
So you had no infantry training at all?
No, I don't remember any infantry training, no.
So what did you do during the 2 months of the primary training week?
Got inoculated and threw grenades, all of which things we'd done before in the Home Guard. I saw, I remember looking through a window while being lectured on something or other, first aid I think it was, and a Manchester bomber was going over, and it suddenly put its wing down and threw itself into the ground, and I managed to throw myself and the people I was sitting with, knock them all on the floor, and we lay across the floor of the barrack room while this Manchester bomber crashed about 2 fields away. It's unpleasant.
Okay, so the next thing was you went to 6th FTR, Field Training Regiment?
Yes.
And where was that?
That was in Dalry in Ayrshire.
And you went there in the start of April, or just into April 1943. And what's your memory of your training there?
I remember that they had to decide whether you were going to be a gunner, a driver, or a specialist. And it was decided that I would be a specialist.
Now, why did they pick you for that, as you couldn't do maths?
Well, I don't know, but while I was there, I taught. I taught trigonometry. And trigonometry is quite a useful thing in the gunnery world. And there's no question of adding up any sums or anything. And I'm not a very good artist, and so I didn't enjoy panorama drawing, which is an important thing. And
now, could you take us through the training, sort of logically, bit by bit?
Yes. You mean of a specialist gunner? The guns are brought to bear based on somebody giving orders in a strict routine order, and you can't miss anything out and you can't put anything else extraneous in.